I'd love to listen to Jesus teach. How about you guys? I know that, like, all the words of the Bible are inspired. And so, therefore, some people don't like red-letter Bibles because they're saying it's all inspired. And I agree, it's all inspired. But guys, look at my Bible. I got a red-letter edition because I love it whenever I see the red letters. That's Jesus when he really was here on earth and he was really in person and he really went up and he had people come to him and he taught them. I can imagine what that must have been like, and I imagine what it's like for me. I am going to read to you the literal teaching of Jesus in the flesh on planet earth some 2,000 years ago, and I want you to know it's just as valid for us today. It's the perfect teaching for our life today. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you would bless us from heaven with manna today, that you would speak into our lives, you would speak into our hearts, that you would help us to better understand the spiritual truth that you have to offer this morning. You would always call the crowd together, or they would come and find you, and you would say, "He who has ears, let him hear." God, I pray we'll have ears this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. Man, what a great idea. Mark chapter 4. He got into a boat. He pushed himself out away because the multitudes were so great that they were beginning to crush him. Think about it. Perfect teaching setting. Have you ever heard how the voice carries over water too? Isn't that cool? I mean, I'm just imagining what this must have been like. And the whole multitude it was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching. Guys, let's think about that word parable for a minute. Parable. Jesus taught the crowds with parables. And he taught them many things by parables and said to them his teaching. Okay? I want you to understand what a parable is, because I've heard people make jokes in churches before. I don't hear it much here, which I'm thankful. And people, well-meaning, they don't even mean anything by it. They act like parables are like some kind of make-believe story that you can kind of take or leave because it didn't really happen. Okay? A parable is not a make-believe story that didn't really happen, so we can take it or leave it. A parable is a perfect comparison or illustration by the perfect teacher. Okay? He knew that we're a little dull, that we're a little thick. He calls us sheep for a reason. How many of you guys have ever been around sheep? I haven't been around very many, but I have read about them, and I've talked to a lot of people that have been around them, and they're saying, guys, they're not the sharpest tools in the shed. They are not the smartest animal on the farm, okay? I mean, they need help all the time. I'll just tell you just how smart I heard they are. I had a gentleman who tried raising a lot of different kinds of animals, and he found a sheep could be pretty good, you know, animal to raise. They don't tear things up too bad. They're not real ambitious, so they don't really try to get out or anything. So he thought, man, that'd be a great animal. He said, John, I had to quit feeding them around bales. He'd stick a round bale out there, and he said, I had to quit feeding them around bales because they're so stupid, they'll eat their way into the bale, and if the bale even droops a little bit to touch their back, they won't come out. He said, unless you physically go out there and help pull them out, they think they're trapped even when they're not, and they'll stay there till they suffocate to death. So, I don't know, but like that meant something to me. Because God calls me a sheep in his pasture. And so I went, okay, Jesus, I'm so glad that you taught us in a way that we could kind of understand by what we know. So what did they know in that day? They knew farming. They knew how many of you guys have been doing gardens? How many of you have been doing gardens? I know, man. We have been enjoying some of the best fresh produce around here. I am so glad y'all are doing gardens. And it's so cool, right? And I mean, it's such a great experience that whenever it works and things are going well, you know, you get to see all this fruit coming on. You don't plant the garden just to look at the plants. You plant the garden because you're expecting to get something out of it, right? And there's all kinds of stuff that happens along the way because you don't harvest the same day that you plant. You got to wait. Stuff happens in that amount of time that you're waiting. Lots of different stuff happens. But you see, he taught in parables and he used comparisons and illustrations that he knew the people could connect with, and they could connect to agriculture. It meant their life. That's how they ate. Okay? If you didn't raise it, you didn't eat it unless you knew someone who raised it, because they didn't have Walmart. So in chapter 4, verse 3, he says, listen. And in my Bible, it has an exclamation point. I know the punctuations were added a little later and stuff like that. But I think it should have an exclamation point when Jesus is talking. We need to listen. And so he says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened. As he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, which it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Guys, we're going to take just a moment to kind of unpack that just a little bit. Verses 9 through 12 there. He says, he who has ears, let him hear. I'm going to ask you something. Are you tuned into spiritual things? You can't even really start getting tuned into spiritual things until you give your life to Jesus. I tried reading the Bible before I got saved, and it was all in Greek to me. They still hadn't translated it. You're going, hey, wait a minute. It wasn't that long ago. But like, it was really that way. Like, I would read the Bible, and I'm just like, why would anybody bother and waste their time? I don't get it, you know? I really don't get it. Who cares about this guy named Adam and his wife Eve? And who cares about all this other stuff? It don't make any sense to me. You know, why would I want to waste my time doing this? I'm not a reader, so, like, it wasn't something I was going to sit down and just do for the enjoyment of reading. And so I'm like, what's the big deal? Because I just didn't have ears to hear yet. I didn't have ears to hear. But you know, even if I didn't have spiritual ears to hear, I've planted a garden. I've planted a garden before, and I know if you plant your garden on top of rocks, it ain't going to bring you nothing. I've had those plants that withered, and I went back, and I dug under the soil to figure out what was wrong. You find this big old boulder rock underneath there, and you know what? You either change the soil or you don't plant there next year, because you get that, and even a person who's unspiritual can get that. And so he taught unspiritual people in ways that unspiritual people could at least understand the point. And then if they would call out to Jesus, he would give them the spiritual mind to get the spiritual reason behind it. And you know what? It may just be that Jesus just did it perfect. What do y'all think? And guys, here's the deal. If they don't get saved, they'll never get it. And that ain't really our responsibility. Guess who gets them saved? God does. And he uses these stories, these parables like this, to get the job done. I got to the Gospels, and even as an unsaved person, I read this and I thought, you know, I kind of get the point on that, at least on the agricultural side of it. Man, I'm really doing something now. Guys, now I really get the point. He's bringing forth the spiritual truth that is true of every individual in this world. He's bringing forth the spiritual truth that is very useful to the church whenever we're trying to reach unsaved people. He's given us spiritual truth for raising our families here. And he's telling us, guys, Open your spiritual ears. Who's he talking to here? He's talking to his disciples. And they still ain't getting it, folks. And he's saying, guys, the king that you've seen, you kind of understand something about the kingdom. Your eyes are being opened. Let your ears hear now. He's saying to you, it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So he's saying, unplug your ears of the world and start looking at this from a spiritual perspective. And I'm going to dare say, I think a lot of the church, at least in America, has got their ears all clogged up with all of the popular things of the world right now. We're still reading the parables and looking at them like lost people, but let our ears be opened. You know what we need to do to get our ears open? We're going to have to turn off some of the loud noises from the world that are stopping them up and overpowering us. Guys, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Popular entertainment and mainstream media are not the church's friends. They're not now, and they're not going to be. Don't expect them to be our friend. And I bet I'm also going to say another thing. Don't get all your information through them. Amen. You know, the only reason why I tune in to the major media networks every once in a while, I look at the headlines, is just to see what the enemy's got to say. Because I'm telling you, they are working against everything that the gospel says all the time. There are very few people in the major media networks, mainstream media, that come from a Christian perspective, and most of them get fired or put out. I had a very pretty, what I would consider to be a very liberal writer from the New York Times who gave a resignation letter. Did anybody read that? It was blistering. She said there was more racism and more prejudice in the New York Times newsroom than what there is in the whole of the United States of America. She said that she was absolutely ripped open just for suggesting that you should be able to look at both sides of an issue. And it was a pretty long letter, too. It'd probably take you another 10 minutes to read that one, but it's worth it. I cheered. But you see, mainstream media didn't put that out, did they? You see, guys, we got to go. We need to get our spiritual ears open so that we can hear Jesus. And I'm just going to tell you, you're going to have to turn off a lot of the buzz sounds of the world. You're just going to have to do it. It's got to be your choice to do it. Otherwise, you're going to see and not perceive, and you're going to hear and not understand. Because the world's overpowering. And that fleshly way of looking at things, don't jive with Jesus and what he teaches. He goes on to talk about fruitfulness here, and he's going to explain this to them in ways. And finally, he's going to use words that they can get it. He's going to make direct connections between all these different points as he explains this parable. And I'm so glad he did this for me, because even though my spiritual ears are getting more and more open, I still need him just to put it straight to me. Do I get an amen to that? Don't you love it whenever he just explains things? So he's going to explain it. And he said to them, verse 13, "Do you not understand this parable?" So it kind of get the impression he expected they should be able to. Do I get an amen to that? All right. So whenever you teach a child something, is it so that you can keep teaching them the same thing every day for the next 25 years of their life? No, you teach them because you want them to get it so we can move on to the next thing. And I think Jesus is trying to teach us stuff so that we can move on to the next thing. And so he's making the point. He wasn't just being a smart aleck here. He was being serious. He said, "Don't you understand it?" And then he goes on, and he's going to be kind, and he's going to be patient, and he's going to go ahead and explain it to him. Praise God for me. He says, "How then will you understand all the parables if you can't even understand this one?" And he goes on in verse 14. "The sower sows the word." What's the word? Hopefully you brought one to church with you in some way, shape, or form. You know, I'm not like pointing anybody out if they don't have a Bible in their hand. I got one in my pocket. Whenever I first started using this as my Bible, you know, I got like two or three great apps in here. I got more study power in here than I do in my computer in my office. It's pretty awesome. I mean, I can look up Greek words in here. I can't pronounce them, but I can look them up. But here's the deal, guys. However, whatever, it's God's word that has the authority. Okay? God's word is significant even to the lost world. It's the truth. I love, you know, how even in Jeremiah it talks about that all these other things are going to pass away. You know, the flower that we love so much, the grass of the field and all that. But the word of the Lord will stand forever. It's going to stand forever. Okay? You're going to have the Bible in heaven forever. We're going to be reminded of what God said throughout history so that we're reminded of his greatness, because he said it first and then he did it. And it proves that it's him and it brings him glory. So it's going to be there. We're going to be there. And he says that the sower goes out and he sows seed. The seed is the word. Okay? And so why do we sow seed? Why did you put in bean seeds in your garden? Because you were hoping to get a harvest, right? Did you hope to just get one bean? You put in one bean. Boy, I sure hope I get at least one bean back. No, I mean, like, you get all kinds of beans in every one of those long strips, you know? I remember one year, I took pictures. Man, I'll tell you, that was the glory year for my green beans. Guys, I was picking 10 gallons of green beans at a time. Not a bug bite on them. They were this long, and they were bigger around in my finger. I'm telling you, those were the most beautiful beans I've ever seen. I canned 53 quarts of beans myself, and I don't even know how to can. It was great. We just ate the last can of it last year. I had to learn to can, because, man, we had so many beans coming in, my poor wife couldn't keep up with it. And we were giving them away. People would come by, and I'd say, you want any beans? And they'd go, yeah, I'd take a few. I'd hand them a 5-gallon bucket. Take some beans. I can't handle them all. My kids were crying whenever I brought beans in. I can tell you guys, I just planted a little sack of beans. Just a little sack of beans. But man, they did good that year. And I'll tell you, I was so thrilled. I don't know if I really want to do that again, but man, it was awesome. Because I was getting thousands of beans for every couple beans that I put in the ground. And that's the point. You see, the sower went out and he sowed the word. What are we expecting? When we sow the word, we're hoping somebody will get it. We're hoping that they'll agree with God. We're hoping, we're praying that they'll give their life to Christ, that they'll be saved. Are we hoping that they'll be saved so that they don't do anything with it? No, really hoping that they're really going to live for Christ too, right? That's our hope. So the sower seeds sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, okay, now let's just stop for a minute. Do you throw your seed out on the asphalt? Do you throw it on the gravel road? It's a little softer. Do you just throw it kind of off the side of the gravel road? And you go, man, I sure hope I get a great bountiful harvest. No, you don't do that because you know instinctively that won't work. Why did he include it in his parable? Because they knew instinctively that would be the worst place in the world to throw your seed. Because it's just going to lay right on top. And so if it don't really sink in where the word is sown, then when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Do you think this still pertains to today? So when you present the gospel and somebody says, oh yeah, oh how I love Jesus. You praise the Lord with them. We don't doubt it. But what would you want to encourage them to do beyond that point? You know, we're going to encourage them to get in an environment and make an environment conducive to get deepened roots, right? Just like we do with our gardens. We want deep roots because deep roots produce fruit. Now these are the ones, so he goes on and he says, verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. So this one, the soil may be a little bit deeper, but there's weeds. There's all these weeds in your life. Okay? So what do we need to be fruitful? Gotta get rid of the weeds. You guys have heard about my strawberry patch, haven't you? This is a deep hurt in my life. Cultivated this terrible soil, and we thought it'd be a good place to plant strawberries. And so, man, I worked like day and night to get that all ready. Terrace this hill. Oh, man, I could taste the strawberries already. It was the most awesome thing I could imagine. And as I'm planting them, I mean, we received over 100 strawberry plants, and they were dying. And so I had to hurry up and get them in the ground. So I worked like all night on Saturday night, and I showed up to church looking terrible the next day, with big bags under my eyes, and everybody's like, "Are you okay?" And it's like, man, I could taste the strawberries then. I watered those little babies, and I tried to keep them alive, and I'm telling you, I know that one thing you need with strawberries is you need some kind of mulch around them, and generally people use straw. Berries. Get it? So I went and got some straw. And man, I am cheap. I just want you guys to know. I'm probably like the cheapest person you're ever going to find. On some things, I am so cheap. I worry about the slightest. I mean, I worry about pennies sometimes. I make myself sick over it. So I found out that there's this place I could get straw really cheap. So of course, I went for the cheap straw. And as I'm putting it on, the plants and putting it all around the plants, I noticed this straw was really dirty and I kept getting thorns in my fingers. Now, I'm just going to tell you guys, wheat don't have thorns on it. So straw shouldn't have thorns on it. You know what I did? I sowed weeds. That's all I did. I don't think the straw meant anything. I don't even know that any of it was straw. I think it was actually weeds that were just bundled up and I took them and I just covered my entire strawberry patch with weeds. So the next year, when spring came, the poor little strawberries started having a horrible competition with weeds. You know how tall strawberries are? At best. How tall are weeds? Yeah. Okay. Well, let's just say my strawberries didn't do well. You know why? Because of the weeds. And the sad thing on this, I planted them. I wonder if that ever happens with Christians. I wonder if maybe we continue to take certain things into our lives that are producing weeds, and it's really competing for the fruitfulness of the word which is in our heart. Amen. As we look at this, I want you to first look inwardly. My own heart, me. Is this the condition of me? And then I also want you to remember this as you try to disciple others. Because, guys, you're not saved just for yourself. You are saved to serve. And you're saved to help make other disciples. That's what fruitfulness really is. Part of it is the fruit of the Spirit that comes out of your life. Part of it is the fruit of offspring, spiritual offspring. So, we've got these who are sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Guys, got to get the weeds out. My wife has worked for years on that same patch of ground over. I was ready just to burn it. Scorched earth, that's good for me. Just burn it, leave it alone, don't ever plant nothing there again, I'm done. My experiment didn't work. My wife saw this as a spiritual opportunity to try to physically work out a spiritual thing. She has been out there picking those weeds out for years now. And she has refused to give in or give up. And I keep saying, honey, why do you keep doing that? I'll get up a little bit later than her sometimes, and I'll look out the front window of the house, and I see this pick going like this down there. It's pretty impressive. I don't know. It seemed like a waste of time to me. It's just a little piece of real estate. I'm done. Well, this year, we got really ambitious. I bought a backhoe for my skid steer. I turned that soil over. We got rid of the weeds. We planted 100 more strawberry plants. Oh, yeah. I'm tasting the strawberries again, guys. I'm going to let you know how it goes. It's a spiritual illustration. Guys, I want to be fruitful. Let's get rid of the weeds. Let's give up the things that are causing weeds in our life. Okay? Let's cut them off. We're trying to disciple somebody else, and we see that maybe, you know, this here thing that they're bringing into their life ain't helping them, you know. It might be a good idea to be able to gently tell them, guys, that's why I don't do that. Or that's why, you know, you're going to have to deal with that issue, because you're never going to be able to grow fruit if you got that happening. Okay? It's not out of judgment. It's out of helpful. Verse 20. This is what we're shooting for. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. That's what God wants from us. He has invested a great deal in us to save us, folks, the life of Jesus. He has planted the seed of the word in your hearts, and it's growing and it's flourishing. And you know what, guys? He's doing it because he's expecting a return. Not just he's hoping for, or he'll be okay with it if he gets one. He expects it. Read the other parables. We're actually going to give an account for what we do with what he's entrusted to us. Even believers. Guys, it's going to be some of the proof of who we are in him. I'm not saying you're saved by what you do. Don't hear me wrong. But if you are his, you will produce fruit. It says so. So let's do everything we can to remember the title of the message. The seed is good all the time. It's God's word. We can never blame it on the seed, folks. I've planted bad seed before. You don't ever want to do that again. You know, I mean, like, you get it. You go, well, that seed didn't do well for me last year, so I ain't planting that one this year. But here's the deal. You can't blame that on God, because God's seed is always good. Amen. You know what really matters and determines the harvest? The condition of the soil. And the soil is your heart. The seed's the word of God. The seed's always good. The soil is the spiritual condition of your hearts. That's the part we can work on. And the fruit is the spiritual growth and the offspring that comes from it. So the plant's got to grow first before you start to get the fruit, right? All right, guys, that's where we're at. Our plants are growing. God's the gardener. You get into chapter 15 of John, we'll relate it because it needs to be. He prunes us. Anything that we don't need, God will get rid of. We need to let him do it. We need to rejoice while he's doing it. We need to be glad that he did it. You know, I just can't get past the staggering statistic. And among Christian men, 65% of them admit to viewing pornography weekly. Guys, it's no wonder we're unfruitful. And what is pornography? It ain't just illicit naked pictures of people. A lot of the soft porn, people are watching on everyday TV. We really need to, like, get the weeds out of our lives, okay? Among women, the number continues to grow. It used to be somewhere around 20%. Now it's upwards of 30%. Guys, we got to get the weeds. That's just one weed. You know, we can name a lot of other ones, right? But I'm going to go ahead and attack that one because I think it's paralyzing the church. We need to get rid of it. Cut it off. Pull it out. Shelly down there with her little pick. Everybody says, that poor woman. I don't make her do it, guys, by the way. She does it because she wants to. You need to do this because you want to do it. You can't do it just because I force you to. I won't even try. Shelly?
I was just going to say about pornography. People think that that's a victimless sin, but the pornography that's on the internet many times.
Sex trafficking and all this stuff. That's what's fueling it all. And guys,
the church is giving power to Satan to oppress these children and women.
We have got to drag it out in the open to get rid of it. You know, whenever you pull a weed, you don't replant it over here. Did you ever notice that? Did you ever pull a weed in your garden and you throw it off to the side? Those weeds have got some strong roots. I've watched crabgrass literally take hold of the ground and stand itself back up. It's incredible. You know, You got to throw it out in the open on top of something dry and let the sun take care of it. Guys, you got a problem in your life, drag it out, throw it out there and let the S-O-N take care of it. Get it out in the open. Don't leave it in the dark. Don't leave it in the secret because it'll continue to get deeper roots. We need to get rid of the roots of bitterness. We need to get rid of all these weeds that are holding us back and causing us to be unfruitful. Guys, I'm proud of you guys. This is an awesome church. You guys have done some awesome work. But let's continue to grow in our fruitfulness. Let's evaluate our lives and let's figure out whatever in this parable applies to me. And let's apply the healing balm of Jesus Christ to it. Okay? Because there's all kinds of stuff that can be holding us back. Let's just get real with God. Let's pray. Dear Father, we can't go anywhere until we first get our relationship right with you. Once we get our relationship right with you, we are a saved believer in Jesus Christ. Let us remember we're only just a saved sinner. That we aren't really any better than anybody else out there. We're just one that has found the truth, and we have found our salvation in you. Help us to remember the countless people that are out there that haven't found it yet. You saved us so that we could be fruitful, and that means taking that word and sowing it among others, and watching and cultivating and helping. And Lord, ultimately, you know, there's a certain amount of cultivation of the soil, a cultivation of the heart that only you can do. But we, as the evangelists, can sure pray, and we can sure ask you to do it. There's a certain amount of it as individuals in Christ. We may work against you. And Lord, if we're working against you and we're the one planting the weeds like I did to my strawberry patch, then show us so that we don't do that anymore. Help us to get that weeds pulled out so that the plant can flourish so that we can get a fruitful harvest. And so, Lord, I pray that our fruitfulness will be abundant when we get to heaven. And that isn't so that I get a greater reward. There's no greater reward that you could give me than just to be in heaven. And I am looking so forward to that. Lord, I think that that fruitfulness of other souls in heaven is what you're talking about by ascending our treasures forward to heaven, storing them in heaven. God, I'm going to be honest with you. When I get to heaven, I want all my children there. There's not a one of them that I want to give up to hell, Lord. When I get to heaven, I want all my grandchildren there too. Lord, when I get to heaven, I want to see every one of these faces I see this morning there. God, whenever I get to heaven, I want to see my neighbors. I want to see those people around me. I want to see my extended family, Lord. I praise God that you do give us a place in that. You want us to be the sower and to keep sowing that seed. In whatever way we can, we help with the cultivation of the soil so that the roots could go deep. And Lord, that we might see a harvest. Oh God, that you would help us to see the harvest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you'll all stand, please.